You're listening to Rambling Business, the only international small business and travel podcast with Rick and Brandon,
where we get into your business no matter where it is.
And today we'll be talking about Petra Bedouins, strong as desert, soft as sand, move like wind, free forever. Rambling Business wraps up our Bedouin series by moving from the Wadi Rum to Petra Jordan. Here, Rick and Judy spoke with Ibrahim of the Bedouin tribe and his family history, finding out about it, and figuring out all sorts of things about this fascinating place, and figuring out what Bedouins are doing to survive in this protected area. Of course, stay tuned for our travel tips and tax tales coming up.
As we said last week, we had a tour guide, Basil Afifi, from Nazarene Tours, who walked us through the Petra Sikh to the magical world of the ancient Nabataean people. And it really is magical. I mean, you know, you see it on TV and you see it
on Indiana Jones,
but until you're standing in the Sikh looking up these cliffs, and I measured it. The narrowest part I could find, 10 feet.
Okay.
So I walked it up.
You brought your tape measure with you on vacation?
My shoes are 12 inches long.
Okay. Close enough. I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, now, just 2 days earlier, rain had that were up in the higher elevations had caused a flash flood that actually killed people.
Oh, no.
Where we were at. Basil ushered his tourist group. You know, he had a bunch of tourists with him.
Mm-hmm.
He got them up on a rock before he heard the crash. And people were yelling flood, and he heard the crash of water coming down.
Yeah,
and he got them up on a high rock as the flood went through, they were airlifted out. As we walked through the Sikh, Basil would show us things, you know, like the mud that we're standing on. He says, "See, it hasn't drained out altogether. You know, it's still there. They're still working on it." Now, what made this whole thing interesting? It was catastrophic and terrible, and people died, but it could have been worse. The ancient Nabataean dam and their drainage system that's carved into the rocks all along the Sikh prevented a more catastrophic thing from happening. The water channeled off this dam and went down a ravine away from the people.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
And then just the overflow was what...
Well, I mean, it got some people before, I guess. I don't know exactly where the people were that were killed, but I know there was a few bedrooms, maybe one tourist. But
that's amazing that ancient engineering could, you know... keep people safe even today.
You will see these pictures on our website, ramblingbusiness.com. You go to this episode and on Facebook. And what you'll also see on there are pipes that were made by the Nabataean 2,000 years ago.
Clay pipes?
That look better than the clay pipes that I grew up with in the 60s. It was amazing what they were able to do. I mean, these people were just way above everybody else. They really were experts.
And it's amazing that in such a harsh environment, right?
Yes.
Finding water is so important, but then too much water.
Yeah.
You know, the very thing that you're looking for the day before can kill you the next
day. Right. Yeah, it's amazing. So this is just a taste of what the Bedouin people have to do in order to survive. And we talked about survival being the main thing, obviously. Now, we met a Bedouin head. His name is Ibrahim of the Bedouin tribe Bedouil. And he told me that his family migrated from Yemen 900 years ago.
Wow.
Pretty good.
Yeah, sure beats any of... We thought it was a big deal to come from Chicago to California.
60 years ago. Now, back in the day, large families and multiple wives were commonplace, as we talked about last week. His father, Awad, had two wives, one local, one the Egyptian, and they amounted to 23 kids.
Wow. A lot of kids.
A lot of mouths to feed.
It is.
Bedouins have traditionally been migrant shepherds with goats, sheep, and camel, moving to better areas for grazing. So that's why they were migrants, because they were going to where the grazing was.
Yeah, you would graze in a desert environment and then move on so you didn't overtap it.
Now, in 1985, King Hussein gave the Petra village to the Bedouins to settle. The Bedouins pay no tax or duty on sales or income. You'll find a tax in other places, but not there. Now, they're more settled, and many of them live in these ancient Nabataean caves, which are famously carved in the rock faces. And those caves previously served as tombs.
Oh.
Many years ago. We were actually looking inside one of those, and because Basil actually volunteered and cleared out the sand of one of them, and he said then the flood came and filled it all back up.
Oh no!
And he said all that work we did. Now there had to be more improvements to the facility, the people. And so what they did is they raised the Nabataean dam wall, the one that probably saved a lot of lives, because it was too low and it was leaking.
Yeah, I mean, it's very, very old.
Right, very old. Now, they are considered the guardians of Petra, not the Knights Templar like you saw in Indiana Jones.
Well, it was one Knight Templar in Indiana Jones.
That's right.
900 years old or whatever.
He chose poorly.
Yeah, it's a great line.
I love it.
That's not real. That's from Indiana Jones.
That's right. That's from Indiana Jones. But they still try to stay as independent as they can. And as we said at the beginning of this program, our title, their personal mantra is strong as desert, soft as sand, move like the wind, free forever.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Now, life is really beautiful and has no limits or control by other people for the Bedouin people. Some of the rituals are passed down. We talked about some of the stuff with the scorpions last week, right? Now, they collect stones also. Each stone has a meaning, healing, fertility. One's called the evil eye, but he never really said what that meant.
It's a curse.
Yeah, I know.
The Sicilians had that too.
Oh, that was an evil hand. Oh, the evil eye, that's right.
No, the
that's
evil
right.
eye, yeah.
That's right. Energy. He says, for example, they rub an agate stone before showering for energy.
Oh, so it's the type of stone.
Right. Okay. Right, right.
So it's like a crystal.
Something, yeah. Now, they are allowed to set up tent stores throughout Petra where they sell their handcrafted items, food, and drinks for tourists. And so they still, though, operate as shepherds. And I'm going to be putting videos on Facebook and our site. You'll see one Bedouin woman calling her goats. And it's so funny. The goats were taking their time.
Yeah.
But you know who's coming faster because it was dinner time?
What?
The cat. The cat was like jumping over rocks trying to get to the food. It was pretty funny.
They had a guard cat for their goats?
They had a guard cat. But the other thing was so interesting is that what you'll see is a video of a shepherd dog bringing goats around.
Yeah.
It was great to watch. It was fantastic to
watch. Nomads train the best dogs.
Yeah.
Because they have to keep, you know.
Yeah.
There's no fences.
Yeah, that's right.
You have to train a dog to do it.
Yeah, the only fence is in Amman, 200 miles away.
Yeah, yeah.
But as I said before, tourism went down after the Gulf War. I said this last week. But it was rejuvenated by the king. The Bedouins also rent out camels, mules, horses, and horse-drawn carriages to tourists for transportation through Petra. So a lot of that is through the Sikh. And when your mom and I were leaving the area to go up to the monastery, this young kid, he's got to be 12, you know, 11, I don't know. He's trying to rent mules to us and lead us up on mules. I'm going, no, I don't think so. I like to walk. I like to hike. I miss things when I get on mules like that. Mm-hmm. He's going, oh, come on. He says, and he's using all these excuses trying to rent this mule to me. And he's going, come on. He's dropping the price, right? He's dropping the price, and we keep walking. And he goes, come on, sir, you don't want your wife to walk, do you? And I said, you know what? You're so smooth. I said, I should just give you some money because you're just so damn smooth.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, and also he doesn't know our mom.
That's right.
She made you do the Grand Canyon rim to rim in one day.
That's right. That's your mother.
Yeah, she loves to walk.
But we did walk the whole thing up, and it was a little bit of a challenge. It wasn't a challenge compared to what we've done, but it was a challenge. But it wasn't hot, and that's a big deal. So and then what you also can do, and you'll see this on site, is that you in your ticket is you can get a free. Not free, you're paying for your ticket, a horse ride as long as you give a tip to the Bedouin.
Yeah.
And that's before you get to the Petra to the visitor center. So that's about maybe a half a mile, maybe a mile, maybe. So we decided to take it on the way back. And I told the guy, I said, hey, I said, you know, we've owned horses for 9 years. You know, you don't have to hold the horse when I walk it. Let me go. So he let your mom and I go, and we got into a fast trot move, and I'm trying to get this thing into a lope. Yeah. And he comes running after us going, no, these are two stallions. Don't do that. They're going to start racing each other. Yeah. That was pretty funny. But I have it on video, so you could see us doing this as we were leaving. And it's, you know, it's like part of the area where Indiana Jones was riding, that whole thing. So it was really cool. So they are free from control. They have many friends, many acquaintances, including our tour guide, who knew lots of them. Mm-hmm. And they have their own conflict resolution system, like a court. So they don't need anything outside. However, as I said last week, climate change has altered the environment unlike ever recorded in their history. For example, most of the trees in the Sikh were cut down because of the fire danger.
Because it's so dry.
Yeah. And also, it was destroying a lot of the ancient stone pavements. If you walk through, you'll find
roots.
You walk through there, you're walking on top of 2,000-year-old Roman paves. What do you call them?
Yeah, paving stones.
Paving stones. Yeah. So you're walking there. So it was an amazing.
Were those octagonal?
Those are actually. It's funny you say that, because when we went up to one of the temples. I think it was like the mommy's temple. There's like a daddy's temple, mommy's table, and a daughter's table. I don't remember what their names are. There was octagonal poems. They were replacements.
Oh, okay.
They weren't real. You could tell.
What were the Romans?
They were probably octagonal, but they were worn down, so you really can't tell. But these were definitely. So they were replacements.
I remember they were a weird shape that fit together better.
Some of them do. You know, but you go to like, where was it in Italy?
The Appian Way?
No, the one down south of the volcano.
Vesuvius?
Pompeii. Pompeii, yeah. They were not octagonal. They were like rectangular or something. And they were really, but they were weathered a lot too. So, you know, this was great.
To learn more about Bedouin culture and where you can travel, you can go to www.kinghussein.gov.jo for Jordan.
You're listening to Rambling Business. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Rick E. Norris and Accountancy Corporation. If you'd like to get the full experience, check out our website for videos, music, pictures, takeaways, and travel tips. www.ramblingbusiness.com.
Now it's time for our tax tales, where we tell you about strange and unusual taxes from the past and the present.
Tax tales.
Tax tales.
A woo. Since we were just talking about that Roman road that ran through there, we thought we'd talk about this ancient Roman thing. It was not uncommon for slave owners to free their slaves after a certain number of years of work. Roman slavery was a lot different than the slavery that we had here in America, in that you could, even as a slave, make money.
Yeah.
If you had a job that you were after your normal work hours. Slaves could pay that fee to free themselves, because many of them had the opportunity to work, not only for their master, but doing other things. And thus they could earn money to obtain their own freedom or, sort of manumit themselves.
Yeah. What's amazing, though, is that one third of the population in the Roman Empire were slaves.
Oh, yeah. The Roman government required the newly freed slave to pay a tax on their freedom, which is like insult to injury.
I know. You're coming and going, you know?
Yeah. But that's states for you.
Yeah.
Now it's time for our travel tip, where we tell you what fun things you can do around the Petra area.
If you plan to buy souvenirs, and I recommend that you do because there's really cool stuff there, there are pluses and minuses depending on about where you buy. If you buy in shops along the highway, prices will be higher because there is a tax added on to support healthcare and education of the Bedouins. So, you know, people may not feel bad if they're adding a VAT tax because you know you're supporting the people, the local people there. So that's not so bad. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's also a much bigger selection too. However, if you wait till you get into Petra, walking through the Sikh, going through there and getting into those tent places where they sell things back in the history, you may be able to buy things cheaper without the tax. In other words, you'll buy things cheaper, but the number one reason will be because there's no tax or levy on that, or duty. But you have to negotiate. This is a cultural thing. This is not somebody trying to rip you off. This is a cultural thing where they do negotiate and they want you to negotiate. It's kind of a rite of passage or something in the getting the sales transaction
it's
done.
It's part of the sales. Your skill as a salesman is making sure people
right.
don't.
So, you know, it's not insulting. And I learned that back in Tijuana.
Yeah.
You know, back when I was 13 years old with Uncle Johnny, you know, about how to negotiate prices and things like that. So the best thing to do is just know what you're buying when you're negotiating. And you have a couple of different places, zones to buy.
Now it's time for our takeaways, where we tell you what steps you can take to implement what we've been talking about on the podcast. The first thing to think about is learn your family history and how it affects the enterprise that you envision. Ibrahim adopted some of the family businesses which were promoted by the king because the king started pushing for tourism. And so Ibrahim changed his family businesses from sort of ranching to selling souvenirs.
Number two, change with the times, but use old ways as a component. The Bedouins are not only changing with the economic times, but with the environment that we talked about is changing radically.
The third thing to think about is try to avoid others controlling you. The Bedouins are successful in living outside of the controls of others, even by having their own conflict resolution methods and also avoiding taxes and working with sort of an ancestral land that was gifted to them.
And last, Bedouins advise that you should make a lot of friends.
Yeah, that's great.
I know.
And I was, who doesn't need more friends?
One of the things I learned from people who come from New York, where there's a lot of people and they have a lot of friends and they move out to Los Angeles where they're spread out, they have a hard time making friends.
Yeah. I didn't think that they had a lot of friends in New York.
Acquaintances. Yeah. I don't know what they are.
coffee buddies.
Different tribes. The tribe of Brooklyn.
the tribe of Queens. Now, to answer a question from one of our listeners, we've got one here from Mark that is a very good one. How do I know if a charity is legit? Basically, I want to make sure my money doesn't go to someone who's going to waste it.
Right. The Brandon Charitable Foundation, right?
Yeah, for getting Brandon new Warhammer figurines.
Mark, the IRS puts out a list of legitimate charities. So go to theirs.gov/charities, nonprofits, /tax-exempt organizations, search, that kind of stuff. Just go to irs.gov and type in charities.
Yeah, it'll figure it out.
And you can find it. So that's really cool. The other thing you can do is that you could also acquire the financial statements of the charity. And
yeah,
you can see how much.
If they're a charity, you can get them
because
they legally have to make them public record.
Yeah, well, they have to make them available. And also is that they are under the auspices of the Attorney General of the state of California or any state that they're incorporated. So they have to be legit, and you can investigate certain things if you want to go deeper than just the IRS site, which gives you a list.
And that's where you can see how much goes to overhead, right? Because they'll tell you how much is operating expenses, how much is going out to actual things. You can see that breakdown.
Mm-hmm. All right.
This finishes our Bedouin Business Series. Stay tuned for our special Christmas series, Bethlehem Businesses, where Rick spoke to businesses in the birthplace of Jesus Christ. Check out some of our past podcasts if you are jonesing before then.
Yeah.
Where rambling businesses travel from Maui to Martha's Vineyard, New Orleans to Vancouver, Canada to Norway, San Francisco to Amsterdam, and now to the Middle East. We're trotting all across this world. Our map on ramblingbusiness.com shows you our travels. You can click on the little pin, and that'll let you drill down to the city and see all the different shows that we have for that city or area. But until then, I'm Brandon.
This is Rick, and thank you for letting us get into your business no matter where it is. Our music and podcast was produced by my son, Devin S. Norris. For all your music, composition, and podcast needs, check out devinsnorris.com.